Welcome to the Selling from the Heart podcast on the Salescast Network. You've joined a global movement of sales professionals who are dedicated to being authentic and building trust. We call it Selling from the Heart. Together, we are on a mission to bring sincerity and substance to the sales profession we all love. Get ready to be inspired and equipped as we join our hosts, Larry Levine and Daryl Amy.
Larry and Daryl here, and we're excited to let you know about a new event that will reinvigorate your heart for sales.
The Selling from the Heart experience will be a gathering of like-hearted sales professionals coming to you on April 19th and 20th in Raleigh, North Carolina.
We invite you to join like-hearted sales professionals for an inspirational day that will refresh, refocus, and reignite your passion for selling.
I can't wait. You can learn more and get your tickets at www.sellingfromtheheartexperience.com. That's sellingfromtheheartexperience.com.
We hope to see you there.
Hello and welcome back to the Selling from the Heart podcast. Your co-host, Daryl Amy, here today with Larry Levine. What's going on, Larry?
If you all would have just seen what Daryl was doing as this music was playing, he went all the way back to probably high school at a rock concert or something.
Hey, you got to get hyped up. When you have a global audience of authentic sales professionals, Larry, you want to show up and you want to show up strong and ready to go. It's great to be here. We have got an incredible dynamic duo. Richard Fenton and Andrea Waltz, Go For No, are in the house today. You're going to love this episode. It's going to be super practical. I'm feeling we're going to laugh quite a bit along the way too, Larry. Yes,
I think you're right.
I love it. And we love the global audience of sales professionals that's gathering around. And it was really fun to hear from our friend Mark Clausen.
Oh, it's been so great to get to know Mark, and we appreciate Mark, and we appreciate everyone who's been sharing their comments along the way about Selling from the Heart. But I just wanted to give Mark Clausen a shout out because he just shared some about my book. He goes, love this book. I enjoyed it so much. I connected with Larry on LinkedIn after reading it. We just had a recent conversation as well. It aligns 100% with my selling by serving mentality. If you want to lift up your game in your selling profession, pick up a copy. I have notes all over mine. I freaking love it. Thank you,
Mark. Thank you, Mark. That's awesome. It's great to hear from you. And by the way, if you're going, I don't have a copy of Selling from the Heart, we'd love to send you one. Just go to sellingfromtheheart.net/book. You'll chip in for shipping and handling. Good old Larry Levine will actually autograph one and mail it to you. So we'd love to get one in your hands. Larry, this is a fun time right now. We're moving closer and closer every week toward the Selling from the Heart experience. It's coming April 19th and 20th. And let me tell you something, you don't want to miss this experience. It's going to be amazing.
No, it truly will be. And we play off the trust formula, and part of the trust formula is inspirational experience. That's what you can expect. We're going to inspire and influence you into becoming a better sales professional during the time together you hang out with us.
Yeah. You know, as sales professionals, we work on our skill set. I hope you're doing that. We work on our mindset. You need to be doing that. But how much time have you spent investing in your heart set? Your heart is the core of all of this. And you're going to get re-inspired, rejuvenated, re-energized. It's going to be a fantastic event. We want you to join us on the evening of April 19th for dinner and a special guest. And all day on the 20th, we're going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina. To find out more and get your ticket, because seating is limited, go to sellingfromtheheartexperience.com. That's sellingfromtheheartexperience.com. Well, I'll tell you what, we are in for an experience today, because I can see the dynamic duo right there in the green room. They are hamming it up, and it is going to be a lot of fun, right, Larry?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's bring them on. Let's get this thing going.
Well, let me introduce them. Richard Fenton and Andrea Waltz are the best-selling authors of the incredible book, Go For No. Yes is the destination, and no is how you get there. And they're also the authors of the brand new, hot off the press book, When They Say No. This is going to be fantastic. Richard and Andrea share a unique message, which has been liberating salespeople in every business and industry from their fear of rejection. while also helping them create a new sales mindset of courage and empowerment. So we have got good friends. Andrea and Richard are here in the house. Let's get them on the screen. What's going on? Welcome to Signs from the Heart.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'm so excited to talk about this new book. But before we do, you know the question that every guest on the Selling from the Heart podcast answers. And I'm looking forward to hearing both of your answers on this. What does it mean to you to sell from the heart?
You want to go first?
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. So to me, and I don't know if this is my answer from last time. However, I believe that selling from the heart is about selling in the customer's best interest and treating your customers like family. So whenever I sell, I think about, and when I did sell, when I was in retail sales for years, I would always treat every customer like they were my mom. And I know that sounds like so lame and cliche, but it's true. And I always wanted my mom to have the best. So I always encouraged my customers to get the best.
Oh, I love it. There's nothing wrong with selling like a mom. It's just, it's all good.
Yeah, good answer. I'll tell you my answer fits with a very recent experience. I had to get new glasses. So Andrea and I go to this eyeglass place. I get my prescription done. I'm sitting there with the salesperson, and the salesperson is very hesitant. The salesperson is like, everything she's asking me has a question mark on it. Like, do you want to get the anti-reflective coating? You know, like new position that she would ask if I should get this. And, you know, being a typical customer, I'm like, you're right, I don't need it. And Andrea, who's actually being a better salesperson than the salesperson, jumps in and goes, no, you're getting the anti-reflective coating, and here's why. And she explains it, and I go, oh, okay, I need that. And then it's like, do you want to get the polycarbonate lenses? And she's like, you want to get the polycarbonate? And I'm like, no, I don't need the polycarbonate. Nah. Andrea's like, you need the polycarbonate. And so you know, the question really is, this salesperson, you know, oftentimes you get salespeople who are sharkish, and they represent their companies, and they will force things on you that you do not want or need. But sometimes selling from the heart means convincing somebody that they should spend the extra money, and that they should take the chance, and they should go the extra mile. Because if you're doing what's in the customer's best interest, and you got a great product, then you have to offer it and you have to sell it. And I think people forget, they forget who they work for sometimes. And, you know, the selling isn't something you do to people, it's something you do for them.
No, it's so interesting. So as I'm listening to this story, and I was just recently doing the eyeglass thing as well, but this was a couple months ago. First thing that comes to my mind is the word confidence. Just imagine if that person who is asking you those questions had more confidence, and I'm just going to throw in another word, believability. What happened if they believed in themselves and that message that they were trying to convey to you? What would that outcome could have been a little bit different.
Absolutely. And if she wasn't there selling for the salesperson, I would have walked out with a lesser product.
I was just going to say, thank God I was there to make the sale.
Because then you would have come home with a pair of glasses that Andrew would have said, Richard, why did you get those glasses without these things on it?
This is why I go with him, you guys, though. I make sure that these things happen because he's dealing with a salesperson that is not maximizing their full potential. I'm not going to insult her, but she just wasn't maximizing her full potential. So
I love it. And I think when we talk about building trust, we're talking about authentic relationship plus meaningful value on the two sides of the trust coin. And that meaningful value, to quote one of my favorite marketing authors, Jay Abraham, we have our obligation to deliver the best and highest value to every one of our clients. And, you know, that means suggesting and convincing and doing that with confidence, because I'm so glad you got the anti-glare on your glasses. So I'm not looking at your computer screen where your eyes are supposed to be this entire podcast. So yeah, this is incredibly powerful. Now I want to say, first of all, congratulations on two things. First of all, congratulations on the unbelievable continued success of Go For No. This book has been around how many years now?
Well, we wrote it originally in 1999. We first published it in 2000.
Wow.
We were slow to Amazon. So we didn't put it on Amazon until 2007. And it hit number one on the sales and selling bestseller list in December of 2010. And it's remained in about the top 20 now for 13 years.
Such a super practical book. And it has been a gift to so many sales professionals. And everyone listening in, I don't know if you ever hear the word no or not, but I'm assuming that happens maybe from time to time. And you have just released, and we're so excited to have you here on the Selling from the Heart podcast to, like, we should pop some champagne or something. Congratulations. When They Say No has hit the streets. It's available. It's out there. This brand new book. Tell us about When They Say No, because I have a sneaking suspicion that, once again, this happens from time to time with everybody in our listening audience. They hear the word no.
Yeah. Every now and then, as a salesperson, every now and then you may run into a no here or there. And we figured, well, let's just talk about this issue. No, it's kind of funny. Like, you know, a lot of speakers and authors out there will put out a book every 2 or 3 years. Richard and I are far, far lazier. So it only took us 2 decades to come out with our second, our follow-up book to Go For No. But you know, what's funny, you guys, is so we're out there, and Go For No is fundamentally, you know, this idea of you need to hear no more often, that if you're not willing to hear no, you're not going to hear yes, that they are a package deal, right? They're opposite sides of the same coin. You want more yeses in your sales career, you need to be willing to hear more no's. The trick is, and we've learned this now after teaching this all of these years, that when people get no, oftentimes they are frozen with what to do. Like, what do they do next? How do they respond? What should they think about themselves, about the customer, about the process? What should they do next? I mean, what is the next move? And so, that's what this book addresses. And we came up with 41, I guess you would call them strategies. We didn't come up with every way that somebody could be rejected, because that would be, I mean, you know, thousands
encyclopedia
of every rejection that you could ever hear. But we came up with 41 things where it's either a think, say, or do item. So one of them, I think you guys could appreciate this, is listen. When they say no, listen. Did you really pay attention? And are you listening to your customer? And maybe you're getting this no because you're just out there pitching and you're not really listening. So some of these items cause people to pause and say, all right, let me back up and see if I need to improve my listening skills. Mm-hmm. Other strategies are actual things that you can say. So for example, one of my favorites is, you know, when you get a no, can you get curious and ask them what made them say no? So it's all, there's some strategy, some tactics, but it's all in response to that little two-letter word.
Yep.
Yeah. So here's what I was thinking about, and forgive me, I'm just going to go down this road for a second, but this is the first word that came into my head, Andrea and Richard, is when you hear no, there's also the word objection that comes along with this. And sometimes a no and an objection, they might mean the same thing, but walk us through. I'm just curious, because sometimes no, you're going to hear the word no, but then sometimes it's not going to be a no. It's just going to be an objection that you have to overcome. Isn't that correct?
Right. And one of the interesting things about that is when I say chapter, our chapters are all like 1 or 2 pages long.
Yeah.
This is a short book. It's a 100-page book. And it's got these 41, you know, key things in it. And, you know, one of the chapters is when they say no, you shouldn't be surprised. And by that, we mean if you've been in selling for more than a month and probably more than a day and probably more than an hour, if you've made a call or two, the reality is people are going to say no to you. They're going to say no to you in the form of saying no. And they're also going to say it in the form of, it's too expensive, or it's not the right time, or I have to ask my spouse, or we're happy with our vendor, or whatever the objection has to be. And as you said, these are all forms of saying no. What we're so shocked at is that people will be in sales for 6 months. someone will say, I have to ask my wife, or, you know, I've got to take this to the committee, or it's, you know, we're happy with our current supplier. And they act like it's the first time they've ever heard it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should never be surprised at an objection. We recommend that people actually keep an objection log, objection journal, if you will. And every time you get an objection, you know, write it down. Not at that moment, obviously, but when you leave the sale, and write it down and look for the trends. Because what you find out is that 90% of all the objections are going to fall in one of those six categories. Mm-hmm. There's only about five or six things that people object to. Once you understand there's only five or six main objections, then come up with a way to respond to it. And so that's, you know, one thing is you should just never be surprised when someone says no. Interestingly, the next chapter is when they say no, be surprised, which is an entirely different thing. It's like a lot of times, you know, salespeople will ask great questions.
Yeah.
They act like a sales consultant. They listen to the answer. They analyze the situation, right? They then make a recommendation and the person says, no, not interested. And you know, as a salesperson, that it's the perfect product or perfect service for them at that time. It's going to make their life better, that the price is right, and that they should do it. So when somebody says no to you after you've asked great questions and you've got the solution, you should go like, wow, I'm really surprised. I mean, based on everything you just told me, it sounds like our product is perfect for you. Can you tell me, I'm just curious, what made you say no? And as Andrea said, you know, there's all of these opportunities. So that's what we're doing in this book, is trying to get people to be prepared for when they hear the word no, and to be in a position to be able to respond to it, you know, effectively.
Mm, super, super practical. I love it. I love what you put together. And I'm looking forward to diving deeper into this. We're going to take a brief break right now, and we want to hear from our community. And Anna Ladau has sent in a video of what does it mean to her to sell from the heart. And by the way, if you want to send in one of these videos, we'd love to hear from you. Just text the word video to 21,000. Let's take a brief break. Let's hear what Anna has to say about selling from the heart. And after a brief word from our sponsors, we'll pick back up on this conversation.
Daryl here, and I'm excited to share with you one of the most innovative tools we've come across in a long time. Our partners at Why Institute have developed an amazing platform that helps people discover their Why operating system. It's truly amazing. In 10 minutes or less, you can know why you do what you do, how you bring your why to life, and what people can count on from you. It's truly the first step in self-awareness. If you're a coach or a sales leader who believes in helping your people understand who they are so they can be the best version of themselves, you've got to check this out. All you need to do is go to whyinstitute.com and look for the Why certification page. We'll put the link in the show notes. When you reach out to the Why Institute, let them know you heard about it here on Selling from the Heart, and you'll be on your way to helping your team discover what drives them.
Hello, my name is Anna from Humana. Selling from the heart to me means changing the mindset that sales is just about making the sale. We have the power to help people and make an impact in their life. It's how can I help you make your life better? No crazy jingle or songs. Well, maybe sometimes it works for other people, right? But really, just human to human connection, finding a way to helping each other.
I absolutely love that.
You know, this is so funny about Anna. She was so nervous. I mean, Andrew and Richard, when she did this, she goes, oh my gosh. It was like, oh, I got to put myself in front of a camera. And she probably did that 10
true
times.
Pro, Anna. True but, pro. Anna, you're amazing. And by the way, send your videos in, text word video to 21,000. But this is what she was talking about, really comes into what we were just talking about, which is when you really know, and when you have a passion, you have a heart for service, you've got a product or service that you represent, a company that you represent, that you know is the right thing for somebody. You know, we've got, as selling from the heart professionals, you know, sometimes we think, well, if I'm selling from the heart, I don't want to be pushy or insistent or, you know, all of that. And that we certainly, you know, those aren't great words, but when we're selling from the heart, we want to be passionate is maybe the best way to say that. And if I know that I've got something that is truly going to resolve an issue for you, help you achieve a goal, make your life better, when I hear the word no, I owe it to you to push back a little bit. And that's why I think what you've come up with is so brilliant. You know, what I wanted to think about together, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. I know when a lot of salespeople hear no, we talk about this fear of rejection. We've had plenty of people on the podcast that talk about brain science and this lizard brain that we have that, you know, when some threat comes in, all of a sudden we're just freak out, right? What would you say to salespeople to maybe eliminate or reduce the risk of that just flood of panic that that sometimes happens or maybe oftentimes happens when we sense the word no is in the air?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So I think the first thing to remember is that it is a natural, biological, built into your DNA response. And there's fundamentally, I mean, you can get better at it, but there's no way to completely eliminate those feelings. And what you have to remember is that you can think about it differently, but you've got to move through the fear feeling. And so the sting of that rejection, the sting of that no, the panic that sets in, that's just your brain's way of giving you that adrenaline and that fight or flight so that you don't end up living under the freeway overpass tomorrow, because that's what your brain thinks is going to happen, right? You get that no and your brain is panicking. And so being prepared for the feelings and getting used to the feelings, I think, is a big part of it. So you can think through the feeling and say, like, all right, this is the part where my brain's going to panic. I'm going to feel the feelings. And then what I need to do is just keep going. I need to make another call. I need to change my state. One of the 41 things in the book, and it's probably my favorite, probably because it was one that I wrote. So it's called change your state. Because one of the questions that we get to your question, Daryl, is what do I do when I'm just getting so many no's and I'm down and I'm deflated. I can't take it anymore, you know? And so in the book, we say, hey, we're the go for no people. Even we can get down and deflated. And if there was something that we were really expecting and we thought, hey, this is going to be a great yes, and then maybe it unwinds or something goes wrong and it turns out to be a no, or it doesn't happen, like, we're human, it's going to happen. And so the two keys to changing your state, one is, and Tony Robbins talks about this, it's movement. It's changing your environment. You do need to get up. You need to move. You need to get the endorphins going from going for a walk, taking the dog out, going to the gym as soon as you possibly can. And the second one is music, is just play or watch a funny video, put on a comedian, watch something, change your state, change your mindset. If you find that you are in a slump where you just feel kind of hopeless, because we've all been there, and sales, you hear it all the time. You hear it compared to sports, right? And there's slumps. And for some weird reason, sometimes we've all been on hot streaks where it's like, we can do no wrong. It's like, why is everybody saying yes to me today? This is crazy. And then you get on these streaks where it's just no after no after no. And it just seems like, how can this happen? Am I being like punked? This seems impossible, getting all of these no's. And so changing your state is a big way to just mix it up and get out of that mindset.
You know, I have a question for the both of you on the word no. Is, do you think there's a difference, just through all your research and writing this, on writing both these books, on a personal no versus a professional no? And the reason why I'm saying this is because I think we handle no personally different than we handle no professionally. I'd be curious your thoughts.
Thank you, Andrea. Yes. I will take this
one. Okay, you take it, but I have some things to say, so you go first.
Well, you know,
I love this question. I'll just say that.
people, you know, you've heard a million times, right? People like, don't take no personally, right? Don't take it personally. And I think, as Andrea kind of suggested, it's our natural reaction is to take it personally. And the reason is that most people, when they hear the word no, they have this assumption that they have been rejected, not the product, not the service. You know, that they personally have been rejected. And we like to use the analogy. Can you imagine that somebody walks into a Baskin Robbins 31 flavors ice cream and says, I'd like the jalapeno pecan, right? And the vanilla turns and goes, hey, what about me? I don't understand. Why'd you pick that? Right. And the vanilla took it personally, like somehow they were being rejected. No, it was a preference on the customer's part. The customer preferred something else. And the next person may walk in and say, give me a scoop of vanilla. And so if you can divorce yourself from this immediate reaction to think it's always about you and mm-hmm. understand that it's customer's preference. And even if, let's just say that 10% of the time they are rejecting you. I mean, literally, they don't like you. You're too tall. You're too short. You're too big. You're too loud. Whatever it is that turns them off about you, it still isn't about you. It's about them. It's about the perception of the customer, because the next customer is going to walk in and they may prefer you over the last salesperson that they met with. And so it's always about the customer. It's never about you. There's got to be some type of divorcing, you know, from the no, and that it's somehow about you every time.
Mm. What do you think, Andrea?
Yes. And oh, I no. totally agree 100%. The thing is, with personal no's, Larry, and I'm glad that you brought it up, because one of the things that I did last year with this thing I called the 7-day challenge, where I had people go out every day, they were challenged to get some different kind of no. One of the days was a personal no, and a personal no meaning, and so Richard was talking about taking no personally, which is one piece of it. A personal no is one from, say, your spouse or a family member or whatever. And those are very safe, typically. Those are safe no's, because if I say, if your spouse says, hey, do you want to get Chinese food? And you say no, they don't go, oh my God, Larry, does this mean you want a divorce? it's not the end of the relationship. Of course, know it's a safe no. And so those no's, we get comfortable. The problem is, in a business setting, when we don't have, especially when we don't have the long-term built up relationship, and this is why relationships are important. And we do address that in the beginning of when they say no, when you don't have that history, when you don't have that safety, then your brain automatically, when you get that rejection, says, what does this mean? Does this mean that we are divorcing? Are we splitting up? Are we not, can we not work this out? Whereas when we have these deeper relationships, they're very safe. And so the key is to not let your interpretation and to take it personally sway you to where you feel like you need to abandon the relationship. At this point, you need to stay engaged and connected and say, how can I do a better job, take responsibility, listen better, and take this no and move it forward? Just like we do in personal relationships, which is then we try again. Okay, Larry, if you don't want Chinese food, fine. How about Italian, right? That's what we do in our personal.
Her answer was better than mine. So it's very clear that I misunderstood the question. And we did almost get divorced once over pizza topping. So just to be clear, jalapenos don't go on a pizza.
No, but you know, I've been happily married almost 31 years, and I just flip it around and I just say, yes, dear, all the time. That's just it. You want to have Chinese food? As much as I don't want to have Chinese food, yes, dear, sure, we'll have Chinese food.
Oh, so your wife, so when it comes to when they say no, her answer is, he never says no. So whatever. It's like,
so good.
He's not a candidate for our book.
Well, speaking of when they say no is hit the shelves, tell us how we can get a hold of this.
Yeah, Amazon, paperback, Kindle. We're working on the audio soon, so audio's awesome. Not out yet. But yeah, we're really proud of it. We're excited. I mean, as salespeople, we joked in the beginning about not hearing no very often. But I think in sales, we love talking about rejection because we all deal with it. It doesn't matter who you are, how big you are. You know, the big, no matter celebrities and salespeople who win all the awards, they still hear it, mm-hmm. right? They still hear it.
I love it.
Hey, really quick though, I got one more question, Daryl, before we wrap up. And it's the same question for both of you. So you had 41 no's in the book, right? So Andrew, what's your favorite one? And Richard, what's your favorite one?
You go first.
Let's see. Mine is probably accept it. That's probably my favorite. Because I think that when you accept it, that's the first step in figuring out, okay, how can I work with this? How do I engage with this person? Okay. What about you?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I like that. Not as good as mine, but it's good. That's good. here's my favorite.
Oh, yeah, because he wrote this. I did write this one.
It was so much better than most of them. When they say no, your problem may not be closing, it may be opening.
Oh, yeah.
So many people are like, I'm having trouble closing the sale. Maybe you're having trouble opening the sale.
This is so good. I'm so excited for you. Thank you for putting this book together. Thank you for sharing time with us today. Thank you for being just a tremendous resource to the sales community. We're cheering you on and at Selling from the Heart. And we're just so excited for all that's ahead. Thanks for being a Selling from the Heart champion. We appreciate you.
Oh, you guys are so much fun. Thanks for having us. Yeah,
great. Thanks.
Sweet. No, you're welcome. Thank you.
Sweet. Well, hey, Larry, everybody that's listening in needs to say yes to When They Say No. Go get a copy of that right now. I think you're really, really going to appreciate it. I just love the practical nature of Andrea and Richard and what they bring to the sales profession. Just super, super helpful here.
I just like, because we're told no all the time. I just say, just get used to it. But it's so interesting that when younger salespeople hear the word no, they take it differently than a tenured salesperson who hears the word no. It's just so interesting how this all plays out. But I just say, just get used to it. You're going to hear no a whole lot more than you're going to hear yes.
Well, no question about that. And, you know, I think one of the things that's really, really critical here as we wrap up is how thick is the veneer on your heart? Like, are you like just, is it really thin? Or have you done the inner work so that when you do hear no, it doesn't knock your legs out from under you? And this is what we're aiming at with doing what we call, there's the hard work and there's the heart work. And at the Selling from the Heart experience, this is what we're going to be going after, is really, really connecting with our whys, really connecting with who we are, what our purpose is. So we've got a level of passion layered on top of that part of our hearts that's terrified that the house of cards is going to fall and we're going to live below a bridge and all of that, that we're able to go in and we're actually able to be more resilient in the middle of all of that. And so I'm so excited about the Selling from the Heart experience coming up. Our inaugural one is going to be on April 19th and 20th, Raleigh, North Carolina, sellingfromtheheartexperience.com. Get your ticket, come join us, because I think doing some of that internal work is what prepares us to be able to go out and sell with authenticity and to be able to hear no and to be able to passionately bring our clients the solutions that they need.
Yeah, you know what? I got a confession, Daryl. I think I gotta do some more inner work, because every time you tell me no, I really take it personal and I can't sleep for days.
Well, I understand that. But if you get a copy of When They Say No, Larry, and you just go to Amazon, grab yourself a copy, I think you're gonna find some answers. Hey, thank you to everybody for joining us this week. This has been a lot of fun. We love hearing from you. We love you. We love it when you connect with us. Reach out. We'd love to connect with you. Thanks for liking and leaving reviews on the podcast, on the platform on which you listen. And until next time, keep being genuine, keep being authentic, keep building trust, go for no, and most of all, sell from the heart.
Thanks for listening to the Selling from the Heart podcast on the Salescast Network. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. We appreciate your encouraging reviews as it helps us spread the word. As always, we would love to connect with you. So look for us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and your favorite podcast platform. This podcast is produced by our friends at Salescast. Learn more at www.salescast.co. We look forward to seeing you next time.